96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. And good evening and welcome to The Essentials. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Hubert Edwards, and as usual, we are going to have ourselves a wonderful conversation. We are going to get into some things that, you know, we haven't done in quite a while. We have talked last time we were here, we talked about, you know, how is it that we're going to start the year off right and get things moving. And last week, we went all the way back to our motherland and we had a great conversation with two of our colleagues over there in Africa. And so today we want to take it back home. There's a lot of things which are happening on the home front. And so we're going to do a little bit of economics talk this evening because there is a lot of stuff. And oftentimes things happen and we kind of deal with them in a very abstract manner. I always like to say all of these things are connected because in one way, shape, or form, they either have a direct connection or there are some indirect pressures. And usually there's always this knock-on effect. And so we're going to have that conversation this evening and we ask you to join us. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259 on our text line 422-4796. That is 422-GR96. And so if you have an input, we want you to come, we want you to share, we want you to be short, we want you to be concise, we want you to be balanced in your contribution. And this is what we are going to do this evening. So we're going to look at some of the things which are in the news, so to speak. And then we're going to kind of have a little bit of an analysis and cast our minds back to some of these issues that we've been discussing for quite a while now and how I believe that they are kind of coming together in this moment, you know, in a way to take disparate pieces and kind of pull them together and paint a picture. And the reason for doing that is to help us, to help you, to help me, to see exactly where we are and whether some of the things, whether or not some of the things that we are hearing out there in the public, in the newspaper, whether we should, you know, start to get worried, whether we should start to get concerned. I have a whole view on use of language and the way we talk about things, and we are going to get right into that. So we're going to take ourselves a very quick break, and when we come back, we're getting right into The Essentials, The Reset. Want you to join us, so don't move. Come right back.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risks, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
What you want and what you will, working for your dollar bill. Sad to see the old slave mill
is grinding slow but grinding still.
Walking home a youth gets killed, police free to shoot at will. Sad to see the old slave mill
is grinding slow but grinding still.
9 to 5, you know the drill, weekends are a sharply thrill. Sad to see the old slave mill
is grinding slow but grinding still.
Cup run that over till it's filled, take until they've had their fill. Sad to see the old slave mill
is grinding slow but grinding.
Some of us think we're too big, God assisting gives us jobs, even though it's just a low paying gig. Some of us will boast and brag, and those of us who think we're smart, just because we don't have much, that's really not the case at all. As riches that the flesh can't touch, some of us won't respect names. Some of us won't.
And welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We have invited Damon Marley to be with us this evening, and so all the background music, all the music we play this evening is going to be by the one Juna Gong. And, you know, we're just kind of all in a vibe and having a conversation. I want to start with an article in the newspaper, which I think is very interesting. Bishop Delton Fernanda delivers the sermon during yesterday's service, it says. And the headline reads, Fernanda calls for action on crime and inflation. I wanted to start there because it's an important nexus, crime and inflation, crime and economics, social issues, economic issues. The nexus between the two is indelible, intricate, intertwined, and can't be moved, can't be pulled apart. And when we start to understand that all of the issues that we face with in some way, shape, or form, whether the initial motivation for the action which takes place is different, at some point in time, we can trace some of the flaws, some of the challenges into the roots of one or the other. So we may find that economic issues are causing individuals to be a particular way, because they may be deprived of opportunities. They may see things which they want and do not have the capacity or a way to get there. They may feel like they have been disadvantaged, whatsoever it is. And then on the other hand, if you have a circumstance where there is pressure, economic pressure within the country, it's going to cause pressure in other places, and it's going to cause social pressure for the most part. So there's a connection. So the article reads, well, at least the statement from him says, there is not a PLP crime problem. It's not a FNM crime problem. It's a Bahamian crime problem. And all of us must see the need to work together, to work for the common cause. That is to collaborate and make our democracy and that which we do stronger than it has ever been before. In times like this, we understand that it is no longer to our advantage, because you see, if the ship sinks, it's not one side that goes down, all of us go down. And I think that is a useful statement to reflect on. I endorse that. I align myself with your statement, Bishop Fernanda. I don't know what else you said, but that particular piece there, I would align myself with it. I was in a conversation recently with some of my colleagues, and we were talking, and I use an analogy. There's a boat which is going someplace, and it has some challenges. The boat needs 10 persons to get to where it wants to get or where it needs to be. 5 have fallen overboard. We have a decision to make. Are we going to rescue them, or are we going to let them drown? The fact of the matter is, we need them. And to the extent that one perishes, anyone perishes, we're going to have some problems. We are at a place and time right now, right here, where we have to divorce ourselves, we should divorce ourselves from selfish thinking, from partisan thinking, from thinking about isms and schisms and ideologies, and figure out a way of how we can embrace a oneness of all of us. Because at the end of the day, when some suffer, the collective does too. We're only as strong, they say, as the weakest link. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. There are circumstances and situations which are creating significant weak links in our country. And that is causing a fracture. And those fractures, those fissures will get bigger and bigger as the pressure gets applied. Wherever the pressure comes from, whether it's social, whether it's economic, whether it's cultural, whether it's religious, wherever the pressure comes from, they will grow, they will get bigger, and overall, the country will suffer for it. Now, we understand how this thing works. There are some things which are going to happen, and some persons are going to be largely immune from that. Usually, the persons who are well off, have tons of money, well connected, well placed, largely immune. And unfortunately, in that circumstance, usually the persons who have the greatest opportunity or who are most well-placed to move the country forward are some of these very same persons. But their immunity sometimes kind of causes them to be, you know, kind of lulled to sleep. There's a sense of security. I'm not going to say false security, because in many ways the security is real. There's some things just not going to happen to them. They're not going to suffer. They're not going to feel the pressure. So those who have the greatest opportunity, potential, the influence to move country forward, do not necessarily have the same level of urgency prompted by circumstance to do the same. You understand where I'm at? The house is burning. And they can stand in the middle and not be burned. They have no motivation to run out. As a matter of fact, there are persons who, you know, by analogy, who, if they remain in the burning house, will be better off. They do well when bad things happen to other people. And so we have to now start to engage our minds to, you know, where we are. Are we going to fix the Bahamas? Ask yourself the question, does the Bahamas need fixing? Because that is, I think, an important and fundamental question. Because until and unless we properly define a problem, a circumstance, then there's no fixing to it. Because if I think I am okay, then why should I waste time doing anything about me? Because I'm okay. I don't need to be fixed. I don't need to be changed. But this is my position. It is my position, just looking at the circumstances, that there are some things which we need to, as a collective, start to pay some attention to. Like I said, this is a bit of an economic look. We can look through that economic eye, and we can look through the eyes of the social impact, especially given the fact that right now, right here, we are experiencing a big upsurge in violent crimes, murder. I think it's about 14 in 17 days, 18 days, counting today. That is huge. Now, we're not naive and we are not going to, you know, represent things as if, you know, we want to create panic. I mean, that's not my purpose here. And by not being naive and by understanding some of the dynamics from afar of how things work, we know that some of those issues are maybe, for want of a better word, they isolated to certain groupings. They are. Some persons may not wish to think about it like that, and you know, we're not doing that so that we say, well, no effort need to be put in that direction, but they are. So contextually, from a country perspective, we have to do that. We have to say, well, you know, things are not what we want them to be, but it's not time for us to panic and all jump overboard, right? It will get better. It will. But where we are today, and the things which are happening today are indicative of things which have happened in the past and we have not solved, and they are also indicative of what could potentially happen in the future. So let's talk about the performance of the economy. But before we get there, before we touch on the performance, I just want to say something about us. Us, the people who have the opportunity, and like myself, being here in studio, having the privilege to be on radio and to share. It's not always an easy thing. It's not always a comfortable thing because of, you know, sometimes you say things, some people don't like what you say. You're not trying to arm anyone. You're not trying to hurt anyone. You're simply trying to do your best to put forward a set of arguments, to put forward reasonable analysis, to put forward and manage on radio here reasonable conversations. But it's like darkness. If you turn on a flashlight, it's going to expose things. And there are persons who are always not going to be comfortable with why are you thinking like that. So sometimes, you know, you get a slant eye here and there. Persons, you know, ask you strange questions sometimes, make strange comments. But be that as it may, my opportunity to be here on the radio, I consider it to be a privilege. If I feel that there is something that I wish to share, I'm going to share that. I'm going to share it honestly. I am going to make sure that I'm not disparaging anybody. And I am going to lace whatever I'm saying with a huge amount of integrity. No lies. No bias. Yeah, we all have bias, but you know, as much unbiased as I can be. But the larger point I'm making is if there is a way I believe that I can, by my voice, if I can do that, or some way else, explain something to someone, anyone, just a better understanding of what's happening in the country, then I'll do it. And it takes me to the thing which I want to say. The Bahamas, I believe, have one of, in a concentrated sense, one of the best intelligentsia anywhere in the world available to leadership. Very close, very much in touch, very much in contact, extremely available. But I believe, it's my view, that this intelligentsia is way too silent. Absolutely way too silent. Or too partisan. Let me say that again. The Bahamas intelligentsia, very, very capable, extremely capable. Like, in many instances, when you look at numbers and concentration and you look at other places around the world, unmatched. When you look at the connectivity, especially with central government leadership, unmatched. When you look at availability and willingness to engage, maybe very much unmatched by many, many places in the world. But in too many instances, silent, too partisan. And it takes away, in my view, from the potential of moving the Bahamas forward as a country, as a single entity, of thinking about country first rather than individual, rather than groupings, rather than subsegments of a national experiment to become better, a national experiment to run excellent democracy, a national experiment to grow economically, a national experiment to diversify and create greater opportunities for those who don't, a national experiment to do what the Prime Minister said, to afford more persons economic dignity. We are too silent on those things. Sometimes I have the opportunity to be in certain spaces, and some things are announced, some things are discussed, and the most vocal of the persons, they just go quiet because we're not touching that. Why are we not touching that? Because in that moment, it may not be a good thing to discuss because of my own personal leaning. We have to do better. And the reason we have to do better is we have to now start to think about country. How can my voice join together with others in a collective way, create the types of tensions which will ultimately lead to attention and action? That's all there is to it. We have to talk more about the things which need to be fixed, such that there is this idea that there is a greater and developing and expanding consensus about what it is which represent the priorities of the country. And that coming together, that congealing of personalities, that congealing of ideas, that congealing of conversations will ultimately create its own set of pressure and tension to a point where it just can't be ignored. But if you're going to only whistle when it's not to your interests and be silent otherwise, you are effectively robbing the country of great value. Especially if you are hugely influential. And when I talk about the intelligentsia, these are, you know, academics and leaders and captains of industry. Yeah, they're influential. You have to talk. You have to say something. We have to do what is necessary. 2024, 2023, 2024 for the Bahamas from an economic point of view, my view, my personal view, we are at a tipping point, crossroads. There's certain things which 2023 started to kind of tell us, and 2024 is going to confirm for us. And if those get confirmed in a negative way, if those things get confirmed in a negative way, the Bahamas is going to start to see a slow creep towards some fundamental change which have been resisted for a very long time. But it can be avoided. I believe it can be avoided with the requisite effort, with the requisite push, and with the requisite changes. I honestly feel so. So the performance of the economy, when you juxtapose that against what took place pre-COVID, going into COVID, I believe one should be reasonable and say, well, it's not that bad. We're doing pretty well. The comeback has been excellent, way beyond expectations in many regards. Tourism is booming. We have this historical numbers, even though I know that there's some noise in those numbers, which will get explained later down the road, sooner or later. And by noise, I mean that, you know, if we count 1 to 8 million without qualifying sometimes aspects of that 8 million, you're going to end up with an impression which may not hold over the long term. So there's some noise in those statistics. And then, you know, it's normal. It will settle down. We'll have a greater appreciation. But the fact of the matter that even with the noise which is present there, there is no question that that sector is doing very, very well, responding well to the demand which is there, and certainly opening up our eyes to opportunities. So the Bahamas, for example, it is said, you know, have a challenge with rooms. Not a good thing if you looked at from one perspective, but a great thing if you look at from the other perspective. The fact that we are challenged with rooms mean that there are opportunities for investment, mean the demand is at a very high level, mean that there are opportunities for growth coming down the pipe. So we can do this. So there's a lot of, from my perspective, positives from the economic front. The numbers are not exactly where they said that they were going to be, but they're not terrible, terrible at all. But there's also some indication of underlying weaknesses. Now, we have certain circumstances where there is a gap in the information available to the public. And me, myself, I can only rely on that which is publicly known. I have no insider view. I have no insider link. I don't get information from any place. So I depend on what is out there. And I use that as a means of, you know, discussing, having conversations. But when you follow these things and you pay attention to them for a while, information which comes to you brings a whole lot of messaging based on what is not there. So when you get a release which talks about the Bahamas successfully closing the $500 million 10-year international commercial loan, and you understand that as a country, we have been challenged in the last while in terms of accessing credit at a reasonable rate. The moment you see that and you wish the country good, you're supposed to start cheering. No questions. Because the one thing you know immediately, automatically, is that regardless of what the rate is, and the rate is missing from the release, regardless of what the rate is, if you are entering into a credit enhancement mechanism with the IDB, you're going to get a rate which is better than you could have gotten on your own. No question about that. It's a better circumstance. So the Bahamas has, via Ministry of Finance, Davis administration, done exactly that and closed this $500 million 10-year international commercial loan, benefiting from a first loss policy-based guarantee provided by the International Development Bank, IDB, arranged by Banco Santander, New York branch as global coordinator and mandated lead arranger. Big people, business. Riding on the AAA status of IDB, Banco Santander, A+, stable, S&P. And what is important about this is that that funding is supportive of the Bahamas' external funding need, representing 50% of the borrowing requirement for 2023-24. Huge. So half of what the Bahamas needed to borrow is going to come via this facility. And we know instinctively, we know qualitatively that 50%, if borrowed otherwise, would be more expensive than it is likely to be under this arrangement. We don't know what the rate is. So first, we celebrate this move. I think it's a positive. Some other persons discuss it differently. I don't think we should necessarily go into that. But I also support the individuals who ask. And it's just an instinctive, natural thing to do. What is the rate? They don't need to tell us. Nobody need to tell us. But you naturally will ask. And why is this so? Why is this so? Because, as an example, if you have your circumstances, whatever your circumstances are, and you go to bank XYZ, And they tell you, well, I'll only lend you if you can borrow at 15%. And you say, well, you know, that's kind of too high for me. I really can't do that. Or I don't want to do that. It's not prudent to do that. And then they say to you, well, you know, if you bring your brother, the one who everybody around here seems to like, if you bring your brother and join with him, we will give you a better rate. Immediately, you know you are in a beneficial circumstance. So that's kind of what it is. IDB representing me going for my better brother and coming back, and they say, you get a better rate. Now, we start out at 15%. Now, if I bring my brother and all of a sudden the rate dropped to 5%, then we know we smoking. We cooking with gas. It's good. The market then sees us as very good. In other words, we are at a place where, on the fundamentals, we can soak up or not set off too much of the value of the AAA ratings brought to the process by the IDB. So we get 5%, nice rate, from 15 to 5, great. But let's say when we go there, they say, well, I'll give you a lower rate, but you know, it's going to be 11%. Or you're going to be 10%. You still make the decision to do it, but in the back of your mind or at the front of your mind or however you want to do it, you are going to recognize the fact that the rate change is not that much. It is a change. It is beneficial, but it is not that much. And the fact that it is not that much carries a significant amount of messaging. And this is why persons are asking for the rate. The only reason. No, it's not the only reason. Some persons are mischievous. They want it for mischievous reasons. From my perspective, I wanted to better understand whether or not the world, the credit markets of the world, is taking an improved view of the Bahamas credit circumstance. That's all I needed for. Because the thing I call for is the way I try to view things. We have to start to think about what is in the best interest of the Bahamas. And so the wish, the hope, the prayer is that this particular arrangement has resulted in a significant discount vis-a-vis the level we have been trading on the debt market. There has been a significant reduction, because that is going to send huge, or that would send huge amount of value going out, emanating from the Bahamas, which is going to augur well for us in the future. So it's my hope that it's a positive thing. But I believe it's useful information to be shared. Now, the decision not to, you know, sometimes timing is important. I never ever, you can always critique, you can always figure out, well, you know, maybe I would do it better. But the persons who are given charge of running the country, sometimes we have to give them lease to do certain things in a certain way, because inevitably, they know way more than us. They understand the issues way deeper than us. And they have a better feel of how we need to manage that risk. And sometimes managing that risk just means managing public sentiment or managing the sentiment of a certain grouping. So a boost with positive information, not in any way troubled by maybe something which may take it down a notch or two, is a good thing. You know, let that go out there, let that soak up for a couple of days. Then the rest of it will trickle out. Time, you know, it's better to balance. It's just what it is. We who wish and hope for the best say, let's hope that when that trickles out, that goodness which was initially put out holds. So, you know, congratulations to the people who do this, the people who put this together, the work they put in. It's good work for the Bahamas. As I think members of the opposition argued, though, surrounding these things, it's important that there's always great openness, great transparency. So that too have its value. So we're going to leave that there. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're now going to turn to what's happening on the local scene. The numbers for the first quarter is out, and they came with a flurry, they came with an impact, and they came with a certain level of conversations. Question is, should we have the conversations in that manner? You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. Come right back.
Sad to see the old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. Walking home, a child gets killed. Neighbors free to shoot at will. Hurts to see the old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still.
Girl, you see how Cora I look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm is all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Oh, autumn seems to never end. The leaves are always brown. Summer seems to never tend to ever come around. Springtime's ever beginnings when true love is found. Winter's finishes, true love stands its ground. Now I hear no happy songs, the birds have all gone south. Bright green pastures drying up, and plenty turned to drought. Life is full of ups and downs, the carousels of love Good times, bad times, smiles and frowns. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset, as we have this conversation we're going through. Talking a little bit about economics and where we started with the quote from Bishop Delton Fernanda is making the tie, the connection between the economics and the social. He talks about fighting crime and fighting inflation. There's a connection. If inflation pushes many persons to the periphery, as we like to say here, you're likely to see an escalation in at least social tension. And so we have to be mindful that this is, or the solutions require, the action, the effort required to run a successful country. There's always going to be a need for balance. There's always going to be a need to ensure that we are looking at things in a holistic fashion. And so as we work to make this happen, I speak about the fact that, you know, we should not be silent. We should not be rude. We should not be insensitive, but we should not be silent. We need to let our voice be heard and use the voice for powerful, positive things. And so in this vein, I want to pause here a bit to announce the fact that next week, we are going to be having a special broadcast, which is an event dealing with domestic violence. And that will be coming to you from the Eugene Depuge Law School campus from 6:30 to 8. We'll be streaming on various social media platforms. And the school is partnering with the Organization for Responsible Governance on this, who has an initiative. There are some students who are working on a project to deal with domestic violence. We have a wonderful panel in the persons of the lawyer, Ms. Chantel Monroe, Mr. Kevin Farrington, and ASP Kendra Wims. Again, the topic: domestic violence and protection orders in the Bahamas. There are many, many persons out there, many persons, who believe that this is a complicated process, who are in challenging circumstances, who have been disadvantaged, some have been beaten, some have lost limbs, and God forbid, some may have lost life. And the reason that they have not improved their circumstances because they believe this is a whole complicated process and this is not something which they can readily find help in solving their problems, or in many instances actually do it themselves. And so we want to bring that to you, and we'll be working with the team over there from Organization for Responsible Governance, working with a group of students from the Eugene Depuge Law School. It will be streamed live right here on The Essentials. And so want you to look out for that. And it fits right into the discussion that we are having, because domestic violence represents one of the social challenges that we are having in our country. But let's look at some hard numbers that we heard recently. The government in the most recent budgeted for a deficit of 0.9% or $131 million at the end of this fiscal year, which will finish in June 2024, in another 5 months. The information which was released this week, or which came out this week, reported in the various newspapers, is that the first 3 months up to September, or maybe into October, I think the first 3 months, quarter, that budget, that number, has basically been shattered in many ways. Because already, 91% of the expected budget deficit has been realized. Now, for persons who do accounting, for persons who put numbers together, you understand that sometimes expenditure outpace revenue, or vice versa. If expenditure is outpacing revenue, then, you know, chances are you're going to show a negative bottom line faster. And that may happen over a period of time. And then over the next period, it may flip the other way. So you may have revenue outpacing expenditure. And so in time, it normalizes. And I think that's what the financial secretary, Mr. Simon Wilson, was saying in the newspaper today. That we are not at the highest peak, or we were not at the highest peak of revenue up to that point in time, but it gets better. And consequently, we should see some normalizing. Now, I don't know if it is the newspaper or those were the exact words of from Mr. Wilson. I actually didn't read the article. I just saw a clipping moving around. And it says, it's not time to panic yet. Well, the natural response to that is, when will that be? If it's not time to panic yet, the question is always going to be, when will that be? The truth be told is, from my perspective again, because I like to underline the fact that it is my perspective, I don't think in the business of running a country, in the business of watching and commenting and seeking to contribute to the development of the country, however way you do it, and we all do, we are either adding to or taking away from in some way, shape, or form. It's never a time for panicking. It's absolutely never a time for panicking. Some things are changing. Some things have changed. Maybe some things may change dramatically, but it's not ever time for panicking. What I mean by that? When the shifts happen, when the information comes in which says, we wanted to be here and now we are no longer there, you need to step back very quietly in a composed manner and ask yourself some important questions. And the first question is, what has gone wrong? What is going wrong? And then, how do we fix it? Can we fix it? Is it fixable? Were the projections wrong? Were our modeling, were they accurate? Do we need to go back and rethink the models? Add in additional information which may have not been available at that time and stress the results again to see whether or not we went wrong. From where I sit, a 0.9% deficit, and I've said this over and repeatedly, not the first time, not the second time, not even the 10th time, much more than that. A 0.9% was, in my view, too aggressive. Absolutely too aggressive. And the reason I thought it was too aggressive was we're coming out of a period of time where there was significant stress on the economy. And, you know, we're pushing up. So I believe that a moderate number, somewhere around 1 or 1.5%, would have been a better step down from where we were in the previous year. Give ourselves some room to maneuver. And so what we're faced with in a very serious way is, one, the aggression, and two, and these are unknown, it may very well be that our revenue is lagging or our expenditure has moved faster than we expect. Some things have been spent faster than we expect, or brand new things are coming in. I don't know. Many of us don't know. One of the things which we were always wary of, and I've said this when I was on the program with Joan Albright, the financial voice, the financial secretary was there. My response to a question was, yes, we have moved our revenue by not using tax measures. In many instances, there were increases in fees. It's still taxes, but we choose not to call it taxes. But we moved them in, it was significant, I think. I think we got it up to 3 billion plus for the first time. We did that. The question was for me was that sustainable? And we did almost hit almost to the dollar, almost dead on. We hit those targets. But the question was it sustainable? Was there some patches in there may have flow for one time and can be sustained at the same level going forward? There may have been something there. And so the question for persons who are watching the numbers and watching the performance and understanding and trying to understand what is happening is, you know, in your mind, because you don't have full information, you're kind of mentally stressing what is publicly known. And one of the areas for stressing is, does the 3 billion plus or so, which we realize in the previous fiscal, is that going to be sustained? Can we hold that? Because if we can't, then certainly the deficit could be much larger than what the IMF says. Because the IMF went and threw a number out there, and that number is huge, around near was 300 and something million. So the IMF itself put a big number out there. And from where I sit, our target, therefore, with that information out there, is to come in way below that. Come in maybe midpoint, 150, 200 million would have been a good target. Now, with already 91% of the deficit realized, it begs the question, can that truly happen? And if the answer to that is no, then we are in for some conversations. The Prime Minister recently responded, I think, very, very fulsomely, if there's such a word, in his pronouncements in response to the recent upflare of crime. I thought it was a good presentation. Now, some persons say we have heard some of them before, and yes, we have heard a number of the initiatives before, but then again, no one can question until it's not done that it's not going to be done this time. And the hope is that, yes, there is the resolve to do it this time. So if those things are done, then it's going to be, you know, positive, beneficial for the country. I say that as a stepping stone to say that if things are weakening in some ways, not weak as we are in trouble, but a path has been laid out in the fiscal strategy report, the report which came out of the Ministry of Finance not long ago, which says we are on our path to 25% revenue to GDP. And then the budget from last year, which lays out a path to 2026-27, which says we eventually get to a surplus. That is grounded on the foundation of improvement, consistent improvement, and a downward trajectory of these deficits we've been realizing over recent times. Plus the big upheaval that we have during COVID. If we adjust for that, we've still been having, you know, significant deficits. And that needs to be eroded, because in the back end, in the green room, so to speak, sits the national debt, which is waiting for improved performance so that a more direct conversation can be had on that particular topic. So it's important. It's absolutely important that what has been laid out there is realized, or at least we start to come close to it. So when we start to see this type of a outlay, you know, you kind of sit up and look. But I don't think we should ask the question, or we should make the sentiment should not be that we should not panic yet, because that assumes that if there is more of the same, then there is going to be a moment when we should panic. My view is, let's gather the information. Let's look at it. Let's relook at what the projections were. And let's have ourselves a honest conversation. Which takes me into another era. I think maybe this evening I'll get myself in a little bit of a trouble, but yeah. We are at a place and a time in the history of the country which I believe we need to make some changes. We have a caller on the line. I'll get you in a quick second. We are in a place and time where we need to make some important changes. For those who watch carefully, there are some subtle changes, very subtle changes, and they're indicative of things which may need to happen down the road. And it's a time for us to come together. Going back to where I started, it's not a one side or the other side problem that we have, whether it's economic, social, or otherwise. It's a Bahamian problem. We have to solve it in that manner. Carla, welcome to The Essentials.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
A pleasant evening, Mr. Edwards. How are you doing, Bob?
I am doing fine, man. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. I know sometimes people, they timid like a hurricane man, Sparky calling, because, you know, I ask some funny questions.
Yeah. We know that, but we like to talk to you, with Sparky.
You know, Mr. Edwards, listen to what I'm trying to say. And I know you could understand it, because you come from the root. You're a root man. I call people heavenly men and root people. You come from the countryside of Jamaica. I have researched you, and I've followed you, and you made great strides in your life. You have improved your life and moved around the world and made yourself a better man. But I know you could follow me, because even in the King James Version of the Bible, there was a man called John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that man used to be out in the Sea of Galilee baptizing people?
Mm-hmm.
And he said one day, there's going to become one greater than I that will follow me. And that man was supposed to be his cousin, Jesus, because his mother was Elizabeth,
mm-hmm.
who was the cousin of Mary, Jesus' mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up baptizing Jesus. Follow me for a moment here. You left Jamaica, bettered yourself, you ended up living in the Bahamas. And I really appreciate all your contribution. I was born in Chippenham, New Providence. You were born in Jamaica. And when you speak now in the Bahamas, you commonly use this word we, because now you are a Bahamian, and I appreciate you and accept you as such. You came and you did everything the legal way. You get where I'm coming from?
I got you.
You did everything the legal way. You educated yourself. You came here, and to me, you are a Bahamian now, but you are a foreign, you know, just like most other people from Africa and England and everybody who came to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. But I'm a Bahamian, and all I'm trying to say is, Mr. Edward, why is it so difficult for us Bahamians to control our own country and allow foreigners to tell us how we should get it done? Like, we don't know how to get it done because most of our Bahamians are under after. We're only running after one thing, this thing called the mighty dollar, and selling out our country and our natural resources to foreigners for the mighty dollar, and we leaving our Bahamians. Remember what I'm saying in the beginning. It seems as if everybody, these talk shows, they cater to the elites, the politicians, the so-called 19 leading families in the country, and once they become politicians and everything, they forget the little poor, young, Bahamian, black, the average people over there. Remember, even the poor has a voice. You should listen to the voices of the poor, too. Even in these talk shows, they seem to cater only to the elite, only to the upstanding politicians, lawyers, doctors, and everything. But the still small voice in Nassau, where it's the whole thing, not all of them are evil people. Some of them have things to say, too. Some of them are plumbers and masons and gardeners and everything in the bottom. Not all of them walking around with a gun. And some of them going through some bad times.
Mm-hmm.
But once our politicians and our so-called leaders would went to the same school as us, once they reached the House of Assembly, or they become a bishop in some church or somebody, they look down at their own people, and their own people end up suffering, and the foreigners end up taking over the whole country.
Okay.
We need to listen to the Bahamians, the still small voice crying in the wilderness. Listen to your people, because they love the country more than y'all, because most of y'all only love the money. Have a good day, but I love you.
All right, take care, Sparky. Now, you know, there's a place for that. I think the conversations need to be more inclusive, definitely. You made a good point when you say that, you know, everyone, regardless of your status in life, you have something to say. You have a contribution to make. You know, it's your country. Do with it as you will. My encouragement would be for all persons out there to get engaged, to understand, to try to figure out a way where you can contribute. And that's why on this show, I try to explain things as simply as I can. Sometimes I know, you know, get a little bit, may go over some person's head, but I'm trying to be as simple and straightforward as possible. Why? Because when you understand, when you are knowledgeable, then you are able to move away from these passionate emotional discussion and have well-grounded conversations. We have another caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead. You are on the essentials. No? Okay. So let's go back to where I was when we heard from Sparky. Always interesting to hear from Sparky. The person is back. Let's see if we have them now. Caller, you are on the essentials. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, Papa here. Good evening. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Papa?
Aaron Cole, thank God for life. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I know if it's a first-time call or...
I think the first time you're calling me for real. I hear you all the time.
But I called you when you was hosting other...
Sitting
in for other people.
Yes, definitely.
And I just listen to your show, although I don't call in.
Yeah, man. Appreciate
especially
that.
When you had a couple... What the gentleman name who have the talk show in Jamaica?
Okay.
I him on YouTube. You had him on before.
Yes.
What his name now?
I'm not too sure which one you're speaking to.
Rainbow.
Oh, you mean Muta Baruka?
That's the one.
Okay, cool.
Yes, you are the one.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Let me say this. I want to say amen to what Sparky says, especially the power you say everybody in these hot spot areas, crime spot areas, everybody ain't bad.
No, not at all.
You know, some people, you know, they might have started off wrong, straighten up their life, and some people, they was always on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Good apples and bad apples in all areas. But, you know, I had a catch when you first was talking and I'm going to check on the children and stuff like that. And I didn't catch the topic or the real issue what you're dealing with. But I hear what Sparky was saying, and I just wanted to say amen to that. And I don't want to put no emotions in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, and I don't want to really go off a track, but I wonder if there's any space you could have fit it in, or you could tell me what your views on it, because I know you care about the country, and you know a lot of things, what's going on in the country, what could be fixed, and I believe if you had a chance to do it, maybe you would have do it in a different way. I don't want to find out how you feel, or some persons feel out there. And we could answer it another time if I really move on.
Go ahead and ask. What is it that you want here?
I think we need to move away from, I know we had a doctor before as the prime minister of the country, but maybe another time we can talk about it. If not now, we had a doctor before, and I just feel like things really getting rough with the murders and all of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I hear the prime minister trying his best and stuff, even requested or suggested that the Christian Council do a prayer vigil or a day of prayer.
Yeah.
I don't think the people take him serious. In spite of him...
Ooh, the Prime Minister?
Yes, in spite of him being a...
I would disagree with you.
No, listen. In spite of him being a decent gentleman...
Yeah.
I don't think they take him serious as much as like that. I mean, some of us, you don't have to tell us to pray. We pray in 24/7, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean is like... This thing which you call a criminal lawyer,
yeah,
it's a little different than just a normal lawyer would deal with civil matters or properties.
No, it's not that. It's not proper. And I think, you know, we...
No. See, when I am a criminal lawyer, I'm kind of so friendly with the gang members.
No.
All right, we these people they mix up and stuff.
Familiar and friendly are two different things.
Familiar and friendly is two different
things.
Some of these people are familiar with them.
They're familiar with them. That don't mean that they're friendly with them.
They're familiar with them. And it might be one or two who might be friendly. But I just think we need to reconsider or consider when we elect these people to run our country. We shouldn't stereotype them, and we should give them the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. And,
but this gentleman, our good prime minister, this good, decent gentleman, Brave Davis.
Yeah.
I think he's given the example. You could look at everyone have their own opinion.
Yeah.
An opinion doesn't mean facts, right?
Right.
But check it out. Check it out. All right? You check it out and see if they really serious on, I don't want you to say breaking the back of crime, because crime will always be with us, but putting their foot down and speaking to these individuals, some of these same individuals, when it comes down to general election and stuff, these people, them familiar, like you say. You say, don't say friendly, don't say hanging, right? They familiar with the person. So why you can't go talk to these people, them, and really tell these people, them, how upset is and what they doing to the country?
Yeah, Papa, you're taking us way, way off.
Okay.
Thank you
another
for your contribution.
Time.
Another time.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. But certainly, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And the question is, you know, when you listen to the prime minister or you listen to any other policymaker, the first question is, you know, is what they're saying make sense? Yeah, are they practical? Are they pragmatic? You know, will they work? And if the answer to that is yes, then the next thing is, you know, will it be implemented? I listened to the speech, and I believe that there are a lot of things in there that you can bite on. Some of them will take some time to Germany, it will take more effort than others. But there's a lot in there from a policy perspective. Now we just need to go implement it. We now need to do what is necessary, because it's important for the country. It's very, very important. So just before Papa jump in and kind of take us a side look at track, this is what I wanted to say. We are all in this together. And the country, I believe, is at an interesting time. If you even look, you look at it from the crime perspective, you look at it from the financial economic perspective. I believe that this is a time when the government of the Bahamas needs to be at its best. The government of the Bahamas needs to be at its best and most collaborative level. Now, I use the word government deliberately, because the government of the Bahamas is a construct of the ruling party and the opposition party, not one side. The opposition represents the royal opposition. I don't like the term really, but that's what it is. The opposition is part and parcel of the government. I believe, I'm not knocking anybody, this is my formula, and I've said this to other persons privately. My formula is, in this moment, we will have to dial back on some of the rhetoric, and we have to start thinking country first. That's from the opposition perspective. From the ruling party perspective, we have to kind of start to think a little bit more about how we PR it, as opposed to kind of laying out hard, sound facts, which is going to be valuable for the country to understand exactly what is happening. And then as a collective, this is the time and the moment, I believe, where opposition and ruling party needs to get together. They don't have to be in the same room. If you can't be in the same room, no problem. You don't have to be in the same room. But the idea of getting together is, it's not simply about, I want to stay in, and the other side is, I want to get you out. we have to kind of ground ourselves in the idea of what are the ideas, the thoughts, the recommendation, the discussions, the conversations we need to have in our sphere, which is going to make the Bahamas better, which is going to lend ideas and which are going to trigger ideas and nurture ideas, which is going to change the economic circumstances. How are we going to have these conversations about the deficit? So when we hear that deficit is 91%, we don't always say, well, you know, people just spending like sailors. No. We need a fulsome, a honest, a deep discussion. Because yes, we understand. I understand. And, you know, I know as I said that just now, one of my friends who, a person who I consider to be a friend, who was a politician, a minister of government, just popped in my head, right? And I know he would tell me this, you know, you need to understand both sides of this thing. I do. I'm not naive, right? Well, not 100% naive. I'm maybe a little bit more idealistic than other persons. But I believe that in this moment, fulsome, flourishing ideas, dispelling the issues, have greater value than just knocking the performance. I believe that's what needs to be done. And when that is done, it sets a benchmark, it sets the bar higher, such that the next response, the conversation, the other time, will have to be matched. And so we need to be careful. We need to be mindful. We need to be intentional as to how we choose to prosecute the issues around government, around country, around economic growth, around performance or non-performance, around transparency, around freedom of information, around all of these things. We have to do it in such a fulsome way that we consistently being sensitive that we're having a conversation and that ruling party and opposition represents the government of the Bahamas. Simple as that. We have to get to that place. Because on the other side of us not doing the right things, on the other side of us not fixing the issues, is a whole lot of potential pain. And we should not allow ourselves to get there. So we're going to take ourselves, maybe our last break here, and when we come back, we're going to take it home. We continue to have the conversation. If you wish to join us again, the numbers are 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and our text line 422-4796. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. We're having a little bit of economic chat, looking at some of the social issues. Don't move. Come right back.
When will we overcome? Right here and now, my struggling and prosperity from now on. And I don't wanna sing a song that says the struggle live on. When I wish it would die and wither away, no more struggling for all. Let Jah lead the way and take us home.
Hi everyone, Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
Let the system tame you. It's just a part of being young. And even though they're quick to blame you, picking on you like a plum. Because your dream became true, now look what they've become. In open sight and plain view, they've already had a run. So meanwhile they try to change you. It's not over till it's done. So please remain the same you. Hey young world,
hey young world,
hey young world,
hey young world,
hey young world, the world is yours. Hey young world,
hey young world,
hey young world,
hey young world,
hey young world, the world is yours. Let shine your light, so a child may follow. Many have been lost along the way,
yeah.
Until tonight turns into tomorrow. Teach them to be careful while at play.
Yes.
You might not think you know enough.
As we listen to Damian Marley, our job as adults, as custodians, as leaders, as parents, teachers, wherever we are, a part of our job, a part of our role, a part of our obligation is to ensure that the children of tomorrow, the young generation, that they're okay. And we do that not simply by just, you know, taking care of them and say, yeah, you need some money now, you need some lunch, you need to go to school. We do that by ensuring that at a national level, we are improving the country. We're making space for them. We're growing the pie so that when they step into the breach, there's a point in time or at least a part of their lives where they can't really change or impact that. They're growing, they're learning, they're seeking to become good citizens, yeah. But there's a moment when they will. And the question is, what is it that they will see? I hear these conversations all the time. You know, children are gone. They're going away. I tell them, don't come back. I don't know that that's a great position to be in. My children are not here. I can't say that they will come back, but I will never tell them, don't come back to the country, don't come back to the Caribbean, because I think it's wrong advice. I think it's bad advice. Now, don't rush, maybe. Don't come back immediately. Get some value, do some things. But maybe if it's not working out up there, you know, you need to come back where you were from and you need to try to figure that out. But the bigger issue there is, the bigger problem, the bigger thing to solve is that those of us who are in the position, those of us who are already transitioned from their stage to the stage we are, we have an obligation to make a better path for them. We have to. We have to behave in such a way. We have to live in such a way. We have to operate in such a way such that we become merchants of hope. From the highest pinnacle of government to all levels of leadership, we need to become merchants of hope such that the younger generation, those who cannot yet change the trajectory of the country, but they're working, they're readying themselves, they need to be able to see that. They need to be able to see a path to the future. And so recently, I saw someone post something about the Bahamas compared to some other country. And the statement which follows was, and these are my words, I think they, it's not the exact quote of what a person have, but it basically said that the Bahamas is not doing too bad and it's doing better than most. Nothing wrong with the statement per se, except this. A statement like that does a very significant violence to outlook. You see, the moment you start to compare yourself to other people, the moment you start to compare yourself to other places, and you are satisfied, or if you're not even fully satisfied, but you say it often enough, and you become comfortable with the idea that by doing better than most, you're in a good place, a huge problem emerges. And the problem which emerged in the first instance is that you ought to, we must, we should be comparing ourselves, benchmarking ourselves against our potential, not against the other guy. I'm better than the guy who can only count to five. And that's because he only have the potential to count to five, and he is at his maximum five. And I have the potential to count to 10, but I'm just at 6. Who is doing better? He's maxed out. He's given it his heart. And I'm playing around just getting to 6. The point here is, as a country, and here we can expand it even to as a region, I think we need to spend more time thinking about the lost potential that we have within our borders. And if we focus on that more, then I think from a national perspective, we're going to start to better understand that the conversations and the narratives that we have been promulgating over maybe time immemorial, they're just wrong. They're just not going to take us anywhere, because in many instances, those conversations and those narratives only cater to and only will move a particular segment, unknown persons in this moment, but persons who fit a particular type of a classification. It only does that for the most part. It leaves a huge amount of the potential behind. So the moment we come to the place where we start to recognize and accept that we have to maximize our potential as a country, as a region, then we start to appreciate the fact that we are leaving many persons behind. Because in those persons are embedded the collective potential of the country, the collective potential of the region. And so we have to go get them. We have to go make sure that they are okay. We have to go make sure that they are enabled, that they are empowered, that they are learning, that they have the ability to deliver their own potential towards the collective advancement of country, of people, economically, socially, culturally, whatsoever way you want to describe it. We have to do that. So my good friend who say, we are doing better than most and we better off. Yeah, it's a good thing. It's fine. We can settle on that. My position is no. Don't do violence to the potential of the country. Let's focus on the things that we are not doing. Recently, somebody said, I think it was Marlon Johnson who was on radio, and he said, if we fix the ease of doing business, we pump $100 million into the economy. I don't know if that number is true. But instinctively, conceptually, I know that there is a number to doing that. More is likely to happen if we do that. And so consequently, it's time for government, opposition, and ruling party to start to think more deliberately, more intentionally about how they are going to make everybody better off. The Prime Minister has made two attempts, I think, to land a particular plane. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying it this way. And in the first instance, it wasn't much, but you know, there was a little bit of a pushback. And that was when he gave a speech at University of the Bahamas and was talking about the National Development Plan. He made a similar speech. I think it's near identical. to be honest, someplace else, and there was some pushback, yeah? It's not an easy plane to land, but I believe, and I've said it when he made the first speech, and I've mentioned it to one or two persons as to why did this idea of economic dignity, which was one of the big things which started out the gate when this new administration came in, why hasn't it taken on greater significance? Why is it faltering? But the speech, those two speeches, slightly different in some ways, but pretty much the same. They are an attempt to articulate a real issue which exists in the Bahamas. The Prime Minister has emerged over recent time as a much better speaker than he was maybe 5 years ago. I definitely have seen that. And it's not because of his lack of speaking ability that has not landed yet. It is because it touches on a circumstance which is very, very, very challenging. And it is a set of circumstances, or at least a conversation, which goes so close to the politics, and not just the politics of the day, but the historical politics of the Bahamas. But there is a message and a lesson in it. The fact that in those two instances, it has not landed very easily with a broader cross-section of the country is, I believe, in my view, the same speech need to be done again, and it need to be done sans politics. I'll leave that out. Because at its essence, what the Prime Minister attempted to say in those two times, in my view, is that the country is growing. The country has developed. Many good things have happened for this country. But there are some people who have been left behind, are being left behind, and if the status quo continue, will be left behind for generations to come. That, I think, is a worthy conversation to have at a national level and a worthy cause to pursue for solution. How you do that, I'm not sure. I just know that it is a valuable conversation to have. It's onto something, and it goes at a very, very fundamental level to this idea of economic dignity. Economic dignity is not being dignified with money. It goes way deeper than that. It's a whole philosophy. It's a liberal philosophy, yes, come out of the democratic thinking on the democratic side of thinking in the United States. The guy who dabbled with this served under Barack Obama and a previous, I think it may have been Bill Clinton. There is some real discussions out there to be had. Prime Minister is onto something, but it needs help, it needs support, and it needs collaboration within government, and I mean government in the big sense, opposition and ruling party. And so this evening we have kind of had this like a bit of an economic chat. Thank those two persons who join us. But I want to end this with two things. One is the quote from a colleague who says, we're doing better than most. We're not so bad, we're doing better than most. Let's rethink that. And let's start thinking and asking ourselves the question, are we performing up to our potential? And then the other one is, it's not time to panic yet. Let's rethink that, because there's never ever a good time for panicking when it comes to managing the performance of a country. What we need to do is to start thinking, how can we strategically move and change the things which are going to make the country better? Again, We want to invite you to join us next week when we will have our panel discussion on domestic violence with the students from the Eugene Depuch Law School collaborating with the Organization for Responsible Governance. I think it's going to be a good session. Great speaker, great panelists. We are going to talk about how we can help to make some people's life better. Now let's pay attention this year to how we can not be silent and use our voice to help to advance ourselves, those around us, and advance country. All that's left to be said is be good, be safe, walk good, one love, and Ubuntu. You have been listening to The Essentials. Good night.
One must choose the side they join, you know? Brother man. Yeah. Meanwhile, one man needs is another man poison. Mankind will do what they must to survive, ain't it? Hear me now.
In a gunman world, any night in clock, he not work. Marrow splattered the toolbox full. The magazine in a the two blocks full. And he's watching as the days go by. And he's counting as his peers all die. Sleeping with the rifle across his chest. And so he never gets a good night's rest. And then he's cranky in the morning times. And more victims have to lose their lives. The community at twist and twirl, wishing that there wasn't in a gunman world. In a gunman life, he might not come home from work one night. So every minute matter, ignores advice. From his sleeping baby mother and child, that he won't win every game he plays. So she know we'll meet his end one day. Some juvenile will have to earn his stripe and have to take another gunman's life. What if a backstabber names his price? And how ironic if him dead from night. The amount of bullet where him put from boy. Job description, kill and destroy. Oh yeah, oh. Now tell me, is it worth it all? If one
dies. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.